Matt, why don't you come up and talk about that in terms of what you've done?
Let me start with 1972, a 17-year-old young man on his high school campus who was on the chase, trying to fill out that empty void in his life, looking where he could to find the things that might take away that emptiness, not even understanding that I was empty, not even understanding that I was on the chase. None of that made any sense to me, but I was. Fortunately, a moralist, in the sense there was some protection that came from being a moralist over the years, but nonetheless lost, a seeker, and desperate. And in 1972, a friend of mine, by the way, raised in a church, a very good church, and no doubt had heard the gospel many, many times from pulpits and from in big event type of settings and involved in a youth ministry, but not yet understanding the good news of Christ. And in 1972, a friend named Randy Moat, one of my high school buddies, had the boldness and willingness to be one of those who was out in the harvest field and noted and saw that through the disguise, the mask, the facade, all those things that were there of trying to be a somebody, saw someone who was on the chase and was desperate and empty and shared the good news of Jesus Christ with me. And that night, after hearing the gospel that day, that night, in the best way I knew how, I knelt down by my bed in the wee hours of the morning after not being able to go to sleep. I opened up my old Living Green Living Bible next to my bed, and I tracked down some of the verses in the book of Romans that he had shared with me, and I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and it's never been the same since then. God has been powerfully active in my life. Being a pretty outgoing person, I immediately began chasing after the things of the Lord. The next morning, I grabbed a hold of Randy as quick as I could and explained to him what I had done that night. By the way, the day before, when after he shared Christ with me, I'm sure that he thought I'd probably never become a believer because I was fairly hurt by the fact that he would say that I was going to go to hell. And I would, and yet that evening, the Lord got a hold of my heart and I recognized my lost and empty position. And so when I met Randy that morning, I began to ask him, well, what do I do now? How do I handle this? And Randy took me out to the living, to the bookstore, Christian bookstore, and helped me buy a King James study Bible there, the chain reference study Bible, and said, look at the back of this thing. Just start reading and studying. And boy, I just started engulfing that information. But I did it alone, and I yet involved in my church, continuing to go to church, but very much was out alone in my senior year of high school. After I graduated from high school, and again, piecemealing together everything that I could get a hold of spiritually, not having any idea how to grow or what to do, a fellow showed up. One day I was shooting some hoops at our basketball court at the church. He came walking through, and I recognized him immediately because I knew he's the new youth pastor who was in town, a guy named Hank Dunn. And Hank came walking through the gym and greeted a group of us. And after we got through shooting some hoops for a few minutes, he came back downstairs from his office and he pulled me aside. He says, is your name Matt? And I said, my name is Matt. And he says, you're going to Mercer this year, aren't you? And I said, I am. And he said, you know, I would love the opportunity to take you with me. I'm going to be meeting some students over at Mercer in the next few weeks and month or two as they get into school in August and everything. I'd love for you to go with me and hang out over at Mercer some, just to get a chance to get to know you. I had never had anyone seek me out personally like that, just to want to be with me and hang out with me. What I didn't realize that was going on was Hank was beginning a relationship of discipleship with me, of nurture, of care. I didn't realize how intentional he was being about a process that he wanted to get into to invest life to life with me. What I also didn't realize until a year later, I was interning as a college intern at Vineville Baptist Church under Hank's ministry, and I began to hear a name around that was a very good friend of Hank's, and it was Barry St. Clair. And then I began to hear of a strategy that was being developed, and yet Hank didn't really talk a lot about that we were part of the strategy. He just began to communicate with us some steps of a strategy. And I didn't understand exactly how all that was fitting together. What I later found out was that Hank and Barry and a few other guys, Steve Cloud and I think Lamar Slay and Emery Gadd and a few of those guys, were big, huge buddies and were involved in a whole, really what you're seeing is reach out strategy here, the development, the birthing of a strategy in order to communicate with people simply how to take the good news of Jesus Christ, how to present that, then to take people and disciple them and nurture them to become reproducers for the kingdom. And so Hank began to invest in my life along with a group of colleagues.